Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Teen Exec podcast, where we help you build the executive functioning skills you need to lead with confidence in school, in life, and in your future career. I'm your host, Natalia Lucas. On this podcast, we have two kinds of episodes. In one track, called The Leadership Journey, I interview business leaders about their careers and the choices they made as teenagers that shaped where they are today. Today's Leadership Journey guest is Dr. Jerry Smith, former chair of the marketing department at Boston College's Carroll School of Management. Over his career, Dr. Smith has taught and mentored thousands of college students and business leaders. His research focuses on pricing strategies, and in 2022, his book on pricing was named Book of the Year by the American Marketing Association. I'm so excited he's here today, because we'll be talking about how ideas like positioning, branding, and value aren't just for companies. They can actually help us as teens make smarter choices and prepare for future success. Dr. Smith studied at Brandeis University, Harvard Business School, and Boston University, and he's passionate about helping young people see how business concepts apply to everyday life. He has also developed a course that helps teens build their financial literacy skills. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Natalia. It is wonderful to be with you. I am a great believer in what you're doing with Teen Exec. I think this is a terrific idea, so I'm very happy to support you and happy to talk about your questions today.
Thank you so much. We'll start with some questions about your background so our listeners can get to know you better. First off, how did you become first interested in marketing, and what led you to teach at Boston College?
Well, I became interested in marketing later in my career, not at the very beginning of my career. And this was after I had finished college and finished graduate school and was working as a consultant, and then got hired to work for a company called Parker Brothers. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they make games like Monopoly and Clue.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in charge of one of their brands called Star Wars Video Games, if you've heard of that franchise.
Wow.
And so I went to work for that company, and I met a very good mentor there. His name was Bill Bracey, and Bill invited me to come and join Parker Brothers. And Parker Brothers was part of General Mills, the cereal company, and they are a top-flight marketing company nationally and worldwide. And so I learned marketing at General Mills and Parker Brothers, and that's how I got involved in that. But my career also moved from there, from that marketing. I then went into marketing with a company called Kurzweil Music Systems, which manufactured digital samplers, which was essentially sampling music, musical instruments, and was with them for some time. And then I actually got bored with the same company and the same setting and the same people. And I decided I wanted to know more people and interact with more people. And that led me into education, led me to get a PhD in marketing, of all things, and then become a professor and a consultant. And that is what I've done for the rest of my life. And it's been fantastic.
Wow, that's really interesting. When you were a teenager, did you already know you wanted to study business, or did your path unfold later? How did that work?
No. When I first started, I knew that I wanted to get a job in high school, whatever that meant, and even to go to college and get a job where I would make a good income. So I decided I wanted to become an accountant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why an accountant? Because it was a good, reliable job, and I thought it would be terrific. And so I decided to go to the university for accounting. But it turned out that the university that I ended up going to was Brandeis University here in Boston, and they didn't have an accounting program. So the closest to accounting was economics, and I majored in economics and music. Now, why economics and music? Because I loved music, and I'm good at music, and yet I loved business. I thought I wanted to go into business. And so if not accounting, then economics was as close as I could come. And so I ended up doing that. And then while I was at Brandeis, I got involved in econometrics. Do you know what econometrics is?
I do not.
Econometrics is the application of statistical modeling to economics. So forecasting GDP or forecasting prices, you know, so I became an expert at that. And so ended up becoming an expert in economics. And I love doing that. So that's where I went from being a teenager and then sort of through college anyway. That's where I ended up. And then the great question was, should I go into music or business when I graduated?
I mean, how did you make that big decision? Was it your experience in undergrad and graduate school? Was it afterwards?
I think I decided that I could do both. I could go into business and still do music at the same time, which is what I did. And so I've done both at the same time. But music not professionally, just as a fun pastime, you know.
How does that work now? Do you still do both, or was that more when you were younger?
I still do both. I still do both. I still actually, in college, I majored not just in music, but music composition. So composing and arranging. And so I've done a lot of composing and arranging and have a collection of music. And so even right now, part of what I'm trying to do is to collect that music and get it, you know, pull it all together and get it published, whatever that means, you know.
And what was your experience like as an undergrad and then in graduate school? Were there lessons you learned outside the classroom that shaped your career?
So, yes. So in undergrad and grad, I was a focused student. I mean, I worked hard on my studies, and especially at the undergrad level, I worked hard on my studies. And you asked, were there any experiences outside of the university that sort of shaped who I was and what I did? And there was. And it actually took me some time to figure this out. But I served as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS Church. I was a missionary for the church, right? And so I had gone to college before church, before school, before I went on a mission for the church, and then served for 2 years on a mission. And during a mission, you teach people and you learn and study, and it's a very rigorous, disciplined life. And then I came home and went back to college at Brandeis. And so I ended up doing very well in college at Brandeis. And I had always asked this question over the years. I had noticed that those other friends of mine who had served as missionaries like I had, they tended to do better in college after their missions than they did before. I said, you know, I wonder if there is something to that. So just recently, I asked a reliable source whether it was possible that missionaries who had served for the church did better after their mission service than before their mission service. And ChatGPT, who was very reliable, guess what it said? It said, indeed they do. It said, indeed they do. And in fact, you know, their performance in college tends to go up by about 0.4 to 0.5 GPA, you know, on your grade point average. So I was very struck by that. And I've actually looked at that as sort of a turning point. And in fact, I've thought of this not just in my context as an LDS missionary, but also young people who may want to take a year off for service, maybe Peace Corps, or maybe people who want to take a year off just to focus on a devotion or a talent that they have. For example, our daughter took a year off, what we called a 13th year, to focus on her love, which was horses and photography and creativity. And she created a beautiful website that eventually became her career, and even to this day is her career, you know. So I actually advocate this idea of taking a period of time beyond high school and maybe even during college to do something different and to learn and grow in a different way And I think that that is, I think that was helpful for me. So I think it might be helpful to others as well.
Wow, that's really interesting. I love how, I mean, that kind of connects to how you also wanted to do music along with economics and being able to have both of those aspects of your life. I know that you've not only taught college students and written about pricing, but you've also developed a program that helps young teens build financial literacy. I'd love to talk about money and value for a minute because those decisions, they start really early, even before we have jobs or credit cards. So what do you think made you decide to create a financial literacy program for teenagers? And why do you think it's so important at this stage of life?
I just happened into it during the great financial crisis. Have you ever heard of it?
I think it's around the time I was born, maybe.
I think it was. You're right. The great financial crisis of 2008 was a defining period for many people. I remember we had good friends who, he was a great physician in Boston, and their family lost half of their wealth in the great financial crisis. It was a huge thing. And I remember as I was in my own career and investing in retirement funds, and I noticed that during the great financial crisis that all of us took a hit in our retirement accounts. And so I said, you know, what's going on here? And I looked underneath the hood to see what was going on. And I decided, you know what? I think that I might be able to help this along if I were to get involved. And so I did. I started to learn about investing for my own retirement, but also to talk intelligently with those who were investing for me. And so as I learned, I felt that, in fact, I could do this job not as well as them, but certainly could be a good conversant with them about it. And so I learned about it. I invested in financial platforms and learned about how to do financial literacy. So I've become passionate about financial literacy for all young people. I think that you should know financial literacy. And indeed, I've created this course for, really for my children, but I'll share it beyond that, you know. Teaching about financial literacy. Just last night, I had a session with my grandson, and the title of the session was The Time Value of Money. I said, if I gave you $1,000 today, would you take this $1,000, or would you take $10,000 that you don't have access to for 10 years? He thought about that for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was a very good question and very stimulated some very good discussion.
I love that. What do you think is one of the most important topics that you can that you teach in this course or that teens can take away from this program?
I think it is to think about how, like when you think about money that you have, like maybe you work at a job, right? And every week or every 2 weeks, you receive some kind of a paycheck. How much of that money do you want to put away? And put away for what, right? Yeah. And so I like to teach my students that there are three buckets of money. One is for now. One is what I'm going to spend money on now and today. And maybe this is because, you know, I'm going to take my friends to dinner, or maybe it's because we're going to go see a concert. That's today's money. But a second is money for tomorrow. What would money for tomorrow be? Well, stuff that might be in the next year or two. Maybe I'm planning to go to Europe, you know, with my friends. Maybe my grandsons go to Europe for soccer, you know? And so that means that they're going to have to save up money for that. I would call that tomorrow's money. And then the third bucket is the long term. You know, maybe I'm saving up money to buy a house. Well, that seems silly. I'm 15 years old. Why would I ever save money to buy a house? Maybe not so silly. Isn't that interesting? Or maybe it is to save money to invest in a new business that I'm going to start. Well, I'm not really thinking of a new business today, so no, but you may. I talked with one of my students just last week. She's now 48. Still, and she said to me she's thinking of investing in a new venture with a franchise. I don't remember the franchise. She didn't tell me that. But But this would be nice, she said, if I had some invested money that I could put into this. Isn't that a great idea? So that is the idea. Where would I have these three pots of money and think of money that way?
Yes, thinking long term and having different places for money is so important. Is there any way that we can tie marketing ideas like pricing and value to the choices that teens face every day?
Yes, there are two ways. So my work in pricing always focused on how people make pricing decisions, which is different than how people choose to buy. You know, when we choose to buy, we may say, well, I'm going to buy these sneakers because they have a lower price. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe they're not as good because they have a lower price, right? But I like to flip that around the other direction and say, for me personally, what price should I set? Maybe if I'm selling sneakers, what price should I set for those sneakers and why? Or if I'm selling a house, what price should I set for this selling a house, right? Or if I'm going to work for a company, what price should I ask them that they pay me as a wage? Now, you may say, well, I would never ask that question. Maybe you should. They will say to you, Natalia, how much would you like to get paid for this job? And you will say, well, how much do you normally pay? And they would say, well, we normally pay whatever it is, $50 an hour, $30 an hour. But then you should ask this question, Natalia. You should say, but do I have unique skills, unique things that make me more valuable than just the average? And so if the average is 30, maybe actually I'm worth more than just 30. Isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting.
It is. And it causes you to ask this question, how am I more valuable? And therefore, if I am more valuable, then I should let people know that I'm more valuable. They should appreciate that. In fact, part of your life is helping people understand how you are valuable and therefore how you are worth what you are asking.
Wow. That is such a deep connection to the marketing
of
yourself.
Different way of
thinking about it, isn't it? Yeah. The marketing of yourself to others and your value and making sure that it's heard. I love how these money and value lessons, they can tie back to marketing and to yourself, because marketing isn't just about ads. It's how we make choices and how we present ourselves to others. One of the most important marketing concepts is positioning, how a brand chooses to be seen by others. How can teens apply this idea of positioning and showing their value to their own lives, whether that's in school, on a team, or even preparing for college? I mean, businesses often talk about building a brand. Do you think teens should think about building a personal brand? If so, what might that look like for us at this age?
Yes, for sure. You should. I think that branding is at the essence of what you do in the world of interacting with people. I think that branding is absolutely essential. Let me give you some brands. Apple. Have you ever heard of Apple?
Yeah, I have.
When you think of Apple, what comes to mind? Just quick, off the top of your head.
Just electronics, the Apple symbol, the brand element that they have. I think of their glass in all of their places that you go to. I think of the iPhone, iPad, all of their products.
You thought you were interviewing me. This is great. So think about Apple. What Apple wants you to think about is that they're very high quality. Are they high quality? They want you to think that. This is their brand, high quality, cutting edge, reliable, connected to all of your life, whether it be your watch or your phone or your laptop. So Apple, that is their brand. It is the ultimate customer experience. And so I think that's important to them. Taylor Swift, a brand?
Yeah, it's a brand.
Think about Taylor Swift as a brand. Wow. What kind of music do you get from Taylor Swift? You know, so Taylor Swift and her music that seems to talk directly to your soul in a unique way that is just so powerful. I think that's the same with you. And so I think in building your brand, ask these questions. Who are you? What do you stand for? What are your values? What do people know you for? Taylor Swift is good, not just because she sings good lyrics or good melodies. It's because the things that she talks about relate to people that are really meaningful to them, right? Wow, that is Taylor Swift's brand. My brand is involved with pricing and marketing, but other things as well, research and economics. Those are things that I love, you know? And so I think for teenagers, think about what is it that you love? What is it that you don't love? And where do you learn about what you love and what you don't love? You'll find out usually when you go to college, and you'll start out with this major and say what? Nah, I don't like this. That's okay. How will you know that you don't like it? I got a poor grade. I remember I got a poor grade in my undergraduate in 20th century music. Do you know what 20th century music is? It's atonal music, meaning it doesn't have chords, it doesn't have real melody. It's very complex sounding. And I didn't get a good grade. And guess what I learned? I'm definitely not going to do atonal music in my life. Isn't that great? But there were other things that I learned that I love. But I think we should ask another question. How do I create value? And how can that value be helpful and useful to other people? Think in terms of the value that you create, okay? And especially when I think about, like you asked about positioning. In marketing, we talk about positioning all the time. And I do believe in positioning in this way. If I create value, how is my value unique and different? How is it different than what somebody else could provide, right? Now, in my case, I went to college, then business school, and then got a PhD, and my PhD was in pricing. Do you know how many people know about pricing? Not very many. But guess what? That made me very valuable. Because when a company wanted to know about pricing, who did they call?
You.
You know, there just aren't that many of us, and therefore, my knowledge was very valuable. Or when a news organization would want to learn about pricing, maybe the Wall Street Journal wanted to learn about real estate pricing, who could they call? You are one of those experts. And so I'm a believer in education so that you become valuable in very specific ways that make you valuable to others as well.
I know you briefly talked about business school and all the students that you have, and what do the ones who succeed have in common, and what can we as teens take away from your experience with those students?
So as I look at my students, I've said this on a number of occasions, I often thought of my students, some of them as being brilliant. They always got A's and they were great students. But I also had other students who didn't always get A's. But it was interesting. They graduated and they went on in life. And I would keep track of some of my students as they went on in life. And I often found that some of my most successful students were not my top of the class A students. How could that be? Well, they learned other skills and they used them very effectively. For example, many of them, especially at Boston College, it was such a good place for this. They learned teamwork. They learned how to work with others. They learned how to build partnerships and do things together. And therefore, when it was time to look for somebody to help me on this team, here was somebody who knew teamwork very well. And then when it came time to building a team, this person has already done a lot of this. Let me make them the leader of the team. Do you see what I mean? So I always saw them as being very effective. And so my question for my teens is, you are good, so how are you good? Is it A's? Maybe. That's terrific. But maybe it's B's plus teamwork. Is that okay? That's terrific. Absolutely. In the corporate world, nobody will ask you, I don't think, nobody will ask you, so tell me about your grade point average. But they will see you, and they'll see how you interact. You'll see as you go apply for a job, the person, if they're good, should be able to see quickly that, wow, this is the kind of person that I'd like to have here.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Just kind of to close it up, looking back, if you could give your teenage self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think I'd say, look for mentors in life. Mentors. As I look at, as you go through life, I started out going on accounting, and then I turned to economics, and then I turned to econometrics. But I had mentors along the way. Some of them were my professors. Some of them were my teachers. Some of them were people that I met at church or in the community. And they said, hey, Jerry, come and do this with me. And I said, wow, what a great idea. And I did that. And they became mentors. I always looked for mentors. But I found with my students that they were slow to look for mentors. Is that the right word? They just didn't do it naturally. And I thought that, in fact, one of my good students who became the head of Hasbro, one of my good students used to lecture my students when I would invite him to come and speak to my classes. And he would say, how many of you have called upon Jerry as a mentor? So students often don't think of their mentors, their teachers, or beyond that. Even, I mean, in high school, Natalia, think of the people that you interact with. For all of your audience here, who are people that you know that can help you learn something that you didn't know before? And this really would be good to know. And so I would always be looking for people who know more than you and can help you along your way.
Mentors are extremely important to helping you along your way. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for sharing your story and your insights with us today. I think one of the big takeaways is that marketing isn't just about ads or businesses. It's how we position ourselves. We make choices. We think about how we are valuable and how we think about value in our own lives. Here are three quick things that you as listeners can try this week. Position yourself. Write down three words you'd like people to use to describe you. Think like creative, hardworking, or reliable. Then do one thing this week that shows that quality in action. Number two, just think value, not just price. The next time you're considering a purchase, ask yourself, what am I really getting for what I'm giving up? Sometimes it's more important than just the item. It could be confidence, an experience, or memories. And third, check the opportunity cost. Before you spend your time or money, ask, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? That's the kind of trade-off that both marketers and leaders think about all the time. Try one of these this week and see how it changes the way you look at your choices. Thanks again to Dr. Smith for joining us, and thank you to everyone for listening. You can find more conversations like this at teenexec.com. Until next time, keep building the skills that you need to help you lead with impact.